This is Coach Lee, and you're listening to The Door Report.
At Vanderbilt, it's Tim Corbin and the Vandy Boys. On the hardwood, and Clark Lee on the gridiron. Nashville, it's time to sit back, relax, grab a cold one, and enjoy the show. The Music City is our stage, and West End is where we rock. You're listening to The Door Report, the premier Vanderbilt podcast for fans who bleed black and gold. Commodore Nation, anchor down.
Welcome back into The Door Report, episode 266 on a tornado-y, rainy, stormy Tuesday evening, April 2nd, 2024. I am Will Byram, joined as always by my co-host, Trevor Hewlin. We were, right before we started recording, also joined by our producer, Phoebe. Mm-hmm. But then the lightning and thunder scared her away into scurrying away. She's still underneath the table here. No, she's
away. Definitely under a bed.
So Phoebe is having a rough day
with
the storms out there. But before I forget, here at The Door Report, we are presented by 615 Collectibles. If you're into sports cards or sports memorabilia, check out 615 Collectibles on eBay. 615 Collectibles, just look it up in the search bar for an unmatched selection of sports cards. Shipping is always fast and free. Website coming soon, hopefully, summer of 2024, 615collectibles.com. Trevor, not a ton, but we do have a lot to talk about, honestly. Once I started listing it out, Vandy Boys series over the weekend as the rain starts to really pick up in our ears over here.
Yep.
Vandy Boys over the weekend. Also, the introductory press conference for Vanderbilt's new men's basketball coach, Mark Byington, was held last week. We will touch on that just a little bit and give our overall takeaways. I don't think we'll go through individual quotes, but just kind of the gist of what we took from it, because a press conference is a press conference is a press conference at the end of the day. Rarely does a coach come out and just butcher the introductory press conference. You have to really screw up for people to be giving negative reviews about you in an introductory press
conference. I agree. There were a lot of people behind the scenes that probably helped craft that too. That's just the nature of the beast. Nothing against Byington. That's just how that works.
But there was a visit he made directly after that introductory press conference that we were a big fan of. We will hit on that. And then the TDR boys were in attendance at a Vanderbilt football practice on Saturday. We will not be reporting any details of that practice.
We will respect Vanderbilt football's request.
We are respecting their request, but shout out to Vanderbilt football for inviting us, Barton Simmons specifically, for inviting me and Trevor out there. It was a hell of a time, and we'll give some general takeaways and give some shout outs to guys, but we can't report any specifics or anything.
I'll say just to the practice that, I mean, that was a childlike experience for me, to be quite honest. I just went in and I just tried to absorb as much I could and just enjoy the moment. That was a really special thing.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
It was amazing.
We put out the picture of the quickly crafted passes that Barton gave us right after we came in, because people were staring at me and Trevor after Barton left us alone for like 30 seconds and realized, these people are going to get asked who they are, why they are here, because you look at us and you're like, is this our new interior D-line recruit, Trevor Hewlin? Boy, is this program headed downhill.
Yes.
Because I'm not the recruit.
You don't want me in there.
I'm not the recruit of either of us.
No, you could definitely get some snaps at wide receiver, I think. You've got that lanky build.
6'6", buck 83.
Dude, put you in the slot. Dude, another Caleb Pruitt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right. But we will hit on that, give some funny stories and some a couple incidents that almost happened.
I just butchered. I combined two white Vanderbilt names. I said Caleb Pruitt, so I Trent Pruitt, and then Caleb Scott.
I was a little confused by
I'm sorry. Caleb Scott is who I meant, or you could be Trent Pruitt.
Caleb Scott was a physical freak. I should not be compared to Caleb Scott.
We'll go Trent Pruitt then. How about that? You remember that guy?
Vaguely.
I remember number nine. I think he was number nine.
The only problem is probably my 6'1" 40. That's going to be a big issue for the Vanderbilt scouts there.
You can always bump that up, I think.
We'll see. I did take a softball directly to the right shin at softball yesterday evening. So I'm a little injured right now. Minor setback for a major comeback. But before we get into all that and much more, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Door Report. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Emphasis on the YouTube channel. Our subscribers have been going up. Viewership on the last couple episodes has been pretty solid on YouTube.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah. People seem to be switching over. Not even switching over. We seem to be gaining some new YouTube viewers. I think the last couple have had 400 or 500 views. So nothing crazy, but subscribe to the YouTube channel. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. And while you're at it, give our podcast 5 stars and a review on iTunes. It's now time for segment one.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back into segment one of episode 266 of The Door Report. Trevor, I think we'll start it off with baseball. Mr. Baseball Man sitting next to me. The Vandy boys bounced back, swept Missouri over the weekend. So far, the cycle has been sweep, get swept, and then sweep again.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure what to think of Vanderbilt baseball at this point, to be completely honest.
I'm sort of there with you.
To add some context, so Vanderbilt fans don't get, I don't think Vanderbilt fans were too hyped up about the Missouri sweep, but it moves Vanderbilt to 23-6 overall on the year, 6-3 in the SEC. But I just have to be a little bit of a Debbie Downer and remind Vanderbilt fans that Missouri is by far the worst baseball team in the SEC this season.
That's absolutely true.
Just have to reiterate that Missouri's currently 10-18, 1-8 in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I know it's early, but I don't expect that Missouri team to be picking up too many wins in SEC play.
No, not at all. And two, it's crazy to me that Vanderbilt has already played almost 30 games this season. It seems like the season just started 2 weeks ago, and they've already played almost 30. It should have been 30 games tonight, mm-hmm. but that Western Kentucky game understandably got canceled. It's, you know what, soft.
Got to play through the conditions. That's why you got the turf field. Got to play through the tornado.
Did you see, speaking of weather, did you see the video that went viral on Twitter of the University of Kentucky? They had a big and that kid got thrown 15 yards by the wind. I saw somebody quote tweet and go, imagine this being you and your girl getting the ick. as hurricane winds just throw you across the quad.
Also, this is not related to Vanderbilt sports. This is, I didn't say it in the intro, but before we started recording, I told Trevor this could either be like a 25-30 minute episode or this could be an hour and a half episode. No idea. Depends on how much just random stuff that we bring up. I've heard, I don't have children. Trevor doesn't have children. I've heard that they've canceled school or allowed school to get out early due to threat of weather.
Yeah, most schools in Middle Tennessee got out early, I believe.
When did that start? When we were kids, you just stuck us in the hallway with a book over our head in that weird crouching position. Yeah. And they were like, that's good. Good to go.
As teachers walked behind you and went, got to get tighter than that.
Yeah. You get, it's not down enough so that the building can break your back easier. We've got to get you more covered up. Okay. That was a random old man thing I had to say. I do want to add, I understand.
Yeah. Safety first.
Tennessee has had a rough stretch of schools being destroyed by tornadoes. Thank God not when school has been in session.
Yeah.
You've had DCA flattened. You had West Wilson Middle School flattened. Mm-hmm. And those are just the schools that I can think of off the top of my head that have been destroyed. So I understand it on that. But on a side note, when the hell did that start?
It's also crazy to think that people thought, oh yeah, this McGraw-Hill science textbook is going to prevent a boulder that is falling from the ceiling from crushing your skull. I mean, I get it. Like, that's the safest thing you can do. But also, like, why not just throw kids in the bathroom? Like, just jam-pack them in a bathroom or something? Why does it got to be in the hall?
Yeah, I never, to be honest, you'd have drills, too.
Yeah.
Like, you were in middle school, and you had those drills. And I was like, we are too old to be in this position. I also could not even fathom if, like, my work was like, tornado, got to assume the position, and all of us try to get down and squat. That would actually be a good scene of a TV show.
I'd be like, I would rather get swept up by this tornado than get in that position in front of you all.
Yes.
I would rather it sweep me up and throw me to Kansas.
Without a doubt in my mind. But back to baseball. Vandy boys swept. Let me read off the scores here really quickly as the Vanderbilt schedule reloads in front of me. Game one, Vanderbilt wins 3-1. Grayson Carter had an incredible showing. Mm-hmm. That's the only starting pitcher that I have written down, even though the entirety of the pitching on the weekend was phenomenal.
Yep.
Game two, Vanderbilt won 4-0. Game three, Vanderbilt won 3-1. So overall, bats really didn't show up, mm-hmm. but the pitching and defense showed up. And a lot of times that's what it takes to win, especially when you're playing a team that's struggling like Missouri.
Yeah.
That put up two runs the entire weekend. So we talked about it last episode, and I know you have some details you want to get into on these games. You were in attendance Friday evening, right?
Friday evening. It was a beautiful night for some baseball. Beautiful night.
But we talked about that this was a big bounce back series. Mm-hmm. That after that sweep against a team you probably should not have been swept by.
Oh, absolutely.
You go and play against the worst team in the conference.
Yeah.
And it's easy to go in there and say, we just got to win two. Uh-huh. And they came out and dominated for all three games. So shout out to Tim Corbin. It's not a surprise to any of us anymore, but always seems to get the team reset and back on track after a disappointing weekend. It's been that way his whole career, uh-huh. basically. But that doesn't mean we quit shouting it out just because it's so damn consistent.
Absolutely. As Vanderbilt fans, you really do have to appreciate greatness or even goodness anytime it comes through this program. And Tim Corbin has been nothing short of great. A good bounce back series going into a series with LSU this weekend. So this was really big. I know, like we said, this Missouri is the worst baseball team in the SEC, but you did need a get back series in order to mentally prepare yourself for LSU. Like you said, the starting pitching was sensational. My big takeaway was I thought Bryce Cunningham was the best pitcher all weekend long. That Friday night game pitched 7 total innings, 12 strikeouts. He was absolutely
amazing.
Only
gave up one hit.
Only one hit. The more impressive thing, but something that I was really blown away with, is he threw his 90th pitch, and I turn around because I wanted to check what his velo was at. Fastball, 95. So still, even though threw a lot of pitches, kept that velo in the mid-90s for that fastball. Really impressive. He's really, really coming around after a shaky start to this season. Not really a shaky start, but kind of shaky. And not the best year last year. I think he might be turning into what we thought he would be. Whenever he came to Vanderbilt, you said, this kid has ace potential. And honestly, right now, no disrespect to Grayson Carter or Holton, I think Bryce Cunningham might be the best starting pitcher in this rotation right now. He's absolutely stellar. Pitching was great. Bullpen didn't have to do a lot of work, which is always awesome.
But I will give a shout out to the bullpen, even though the starters all went at least 7 innings this weekend.
Timmy let him pitch deep.
Yeah, the bullpen only gave up one hit combined.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Gave up 0 earned runs combined. So shout out to the bullpen that has been shaky at times.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The bullpen has been shaky. They did have a really good series against Missouri, like you said, one hit. In regards to the defense, I thought they played really well overall, especially after an awful outing against South Carolina. Really, the downfall of Vanderbilt with the South Carolina series, in my opinion, was the defensive miscues. A lot of errors, a lot of routine balls that were dropped, a lot of routine plays that just weren't made that allowed South Carolina to capitalize. I thought the defense was much better this weekend. For the hitting, I'll come around. At first, I thought man, we might have some thumpers. We might have a really good offense. I think it can still be really good. They're starting to worry me. I'm not going to lie. This is a Missouri team that Vanderbilt should have shellacked offensively. Didn't score more than 4 runs in any game. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned. Of course, it was Davis Diaz Friday, big home run. Matt Austin Fort had a big home run Thursday night as well. I keep wanting to say Friday, yeah, Saturday, Sunday, but they keep screwing me up. Austin Fort had a big home run Thursday night. Davis had a big home run Friday night. So it's good to see that there is some pop in some of the guys' bats. Overall, the offense is just leaving a lot to be desired to me right now. And I know their wins, you swept them. What's there to really complain about? Am I being nitpicky right now? Yeah, a little bit. But whenever a team like this is so good, it feels kind of good to be nitpicky. But yeah, the bats, I would really like to see them come around, because LSU, even though they've struggled, really good rotation. Whenever they play Florida, really, really good rotation. And so it's just, it makes me a little bit nervous right now. Hopefully they can get that turned around going into postseason play. It feels crazy already talking about postseason play right now, but for the Vandy boys, that's always the goal. So I really, really hope they can get that turned around and really capitalize on when guys get on base. I feel like Vanderbilt leaves a ton of men on base, and they need to start capitalizing on that, whether it being aggressive on base pass, playing small ball, or just having guys hit bombs or hit gappers or put the ball in play and let the guy on the base pass make a play. So that's something that's a little bit concerning to me. I'm not totally out on the offense yet, but I do believe there is reason to be concerned.
Definitely some reason to be concerned with the bats. I don't think anybody would argue with you about that. Big challenge coming up this weekend. You mentioned it, facing a pretty desperate LSU baseball team, a team that had very high expectations going into the season, ranked as high as number 2 in the country, now moved back to number 25. LSU is currently 20-10 overall, 2-7 in the SEC. Granted, their schedule has been pretty brutal so far. On the road series against Mississippi State, lost that series 2-1. Just spoiler alert, LSU has not won an SEC series yet, if you couldn't guess it by the 2-7 record. Lost the series to Mississippi State 2-1, lost the series to number 8 Florida 2-1, and then was swept by number 1 Arkansas. And then followed up that sweeping, or being swept by number 1 Arkansas, with a midweek loss to Southern 12-7. So
that's a Grand Canyon University type college.
So LSU is very talented and desperately needs a series win. Yep. It does not get easier for them with the Vandy boys rolling into town. So if Vanderbilt can pick up this road series this weekend, that would set them up really, really well for the remainder of the season.
And I think that would be, even though LSU is sort of reeling right now, I do think going to Baton Rouge and playing at that ballpark and coming away with a series win, just from a mental aspect, would really catapult this team even further and give them a lot more confidence. I feel like they're playing with a ton of confidence, especially on defense right now as is, but a series win could really, really catapult them as we get deeper into conference play.
And knock LSU out of the top 25, probably.
That would be awesome.
That's always a nice bonus there. Anything else you want to add with baseball before we move on to Mark Byington?
I really hope we get to see the Vandy boys absolutely shellack Christian Little this weekend. I would love nothing more.
I concur. Before we get into Vanderbilt basketball talk, let's hit the TDR cocktail break so we don't forget
indubitably.
It. Grab yourself a cold one, and we will be right back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run, It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back from the TDR cocktail break. Trevor, it is time to talk a little basketball.
Are you sipping on kombucha?
This is not kombucha. It's with kombucha in the kombucha section at Kroger, but it's a live ancient mushroom elixir. Nootropics per bottle. I'll read what's in here.
My man's trying to summon up ancient wizardry.
Maybe a little bit. Not sponsored. Would love a sponsorship here. This stuff is a little pricey, I'm not going to lie. But inside is raw apple cider vinegar, a little reishi mushroom, some chaga mushroom, and some turkey tail mushroom, along with 75 milligrams of natural caffeine.
My boy is macro dosing on shrooms, not micro, macro.
Macro dosing on some nootropic mushrooms from Kroger. We're getting crazy over here. Things are getting wild on episode.
This will be served at the TDR tailgates and lot two.
Yeah, things are changing up. We're getting a little trippier here. But there's a little bit of basketball to talk about. The press conference, I think, is the majority of this discussion. Mm-hmm. I don't like how much people pick apart the press conference either direction, because I'm like, you don't really know anything from it. But Mark Byington hit on everything that needed to be hit on in that conference. I've got some quotes here from the Vanderbilt Hustler, VanderbiltHustler.com. Pulled some quotes, but one in particular, and he discussed a lot of things. I think he talked for what, 10, 15 minutes or so, maybe even less than that. It was pretty quick. In quote from Mark Byington, he said, "One of the things I want to do quickly is let the students know how important they are to the environment. They bring energy, enthusiasm, and might pull us through games when we're not at our best. I want them to know that they're a part of it as much as the guys on the team." That was after Mark Byington also addressed multiple times the need to engage the fan base.
Yeah.
And that this program's not him. This is Vanderbilt's program. This is the program of everyone. So my takeaway overall, I want to hear yours, actually, before I get into my takeaways. What did you think overall of the Mark Byington press conference?
I thought he sounded confident. I thought the press conference was good. I thought his talk was good. I'm very pleased at the show that Vanderbilt Athletics put on for him, allowing media to come, obviously, but allowing fans to come. I thought it was really wonderful. And the big takeaway, and I think this is everybody's big takeaway, is how he addressed the fans and the need for fans. I think Vanderbilt realizes there's a lot of reconciliation that needs to happen right now. And I think they're addressing that, or they're at least trying to address that. And I thought Mark Byington,
am I? Oh my God. Are you good, dude? Maybe you're the one that needs the ancient elixir mushrooms over here. Reset.
Coach Mark Byington addressing the fans and saying how much he needs the fans and how much this program needs the fans is really awesome. And that's an early way that he can go ahead and try and galvanize the fans. I am tripping right now. What is wrong with me? It's been a long day at class. I think the pressure and the atmosphere from the storms is messing with my frontal cortex right now. But just the need to get fans back into Memorial, I think he realizes that. I think Candace Story Lee realizes that. I think the entire athletic department realizes that has been lacking. And he is trying his best with this conference to get fans back in the door, to get them excited about Vanderbilt basketball coming in November.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the quote. I went back and watched the press conference, but don't want to misquote anything that he said based on my dumb prefrontal cortex and my dumb memory. But the main takeaway, of course, you're always going to say, this is a great conference. This is a great program. We expect wins here. We expect NCAA tournaments. We expect championships. And that was all included in the stuff he said. But in particular, when he was talking about fan engagement, like you said, the attendance in Memorial, that this program means something to everyone involved and it's not him centered. Mm-hmm. That was the main thing. Vanderbilt, like you said, has a lot of reconciliation to do with fans. Mm-hmm. And they pushed them away for the last 5 years. And now they're trying to re-engage with the fan base. And I think Mark Byington, from my first impressions, is the guy to do that.
I agree.
I think his hobby is coaching mm-hmm. college basketball. That's what he loves. He even had a quote. This was actually my favorite quote was Mark Byington talking about. He's already had a bunch of realtors hitting up his phone. And he said, everyone can stop texting me. We have temporary housing set up. My family's comfortable. And when that runs out, maybe I'll just sleep in the locker room. But we have more important things to worry about than my housing situation.
Basketball guy.
That right there told me everything I needed to know as far as him being engaged and loving the game. 47 years old, looking to prove himself with his first high major opportunity. And he immediately after the press conference went over to a fraternity house next door. I believe it was ATO.
Yeah.
Went over there, who had a sign on the front of their fraternity house, a banner that said buy in to Byington.
Yeah, I believe so. Yes. Something hashtag on those lines. We're back.
We're back. And he came over and there was a video that Vanderbilt posted to social media of him shaking hands with everybody and saying, got to get you to come out. Got a short walk from over there. We're going to get it going. Yeah. I promise you, we're going to get it going. That right there are the little things.
Very James Franklin-esque to him going to fraternity houses and inside Vanderbilt study areas and saying, are you coming to the football game tonight?
That's the engagement Vanderbilt has to have. You have the smallest student body in, I believe, all of Power 5, but definitely the smallest student body in the SEC. By so much of a margin, the least amount of in-state students as a percentage of your already smallest student population. There are very few, close to zero, homegrown Vanderbilt fans that grew up going to games that get to attend Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. So you have to scrap and claw for every single student that comes to attend games. Mm-hmm. And that's something that gets lost a little bit. Other schools, you can just kind of walk in the door and students are going to show up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You've got 40,000 undergraduate students. You don't have shit besides a few college bars open on a Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to fight against.
Yeah.
You're going to have students show up. And I think that's a responsibility that Jerry Stackhouse never took upon his shoulders.
No.
He never engaged with students, much less sidewalk fans.
Oh, yeah.
But he never really engaged with students. Mm-hmm. And so Mark Byington just taking that first step very early is also a good sign. Byington has also been on the recruiting trail a little bit.
Already working early. Hard.
One commit so far, Jalen Carey, following Mark Byington from JMU. An undersized forward/center, averaged 7 points per game last season, 4.3 rebounds per game. I believe he came off the bench, was one of the first guys off the bench for them. He is undersized, 6'7", but a good sign that at least one player initially is following Byington to the Vanderbilt program. Terrence Edwards, that is a name.
That is the white whale of Vanderbilt basketball right now. He's a kid that if you can get from JMU, and you can get some guys back, which there's reports that some guys are very interested. He's the white whale. He's the catalyst for this basketball team.
Jalen Carey, I just look as like an indicator that there is obviously interest in these JMU guys transferring with Byington to Vanderbilt. Terrence Edwards, 17 points per game last season. I think we talked about it last podcast. He would immediately become the best player on the team.
Absolutely.
The moment he walks in the door. Also, it seems like based on murmurs, I don't know if it's fully official, Vin Allen Lubin.
Yeah.
Going to be staying.
Huge.
From what we're hearing, that's huge. That is the one guy in particular. We talked about it last episode. The one guy that we both were like, you have to keep him.
Absolutely.
So that's a big get. Also, from announcements that have been made, I think this is official. Yeah. Karis Bilal and Tyler Tanner are both staying committed to Vanderbilt after speaking with Mark Byington. So retaining the class that Jerry Stackhouse had already brought in. Not the best class in the world. But at least Mark Byington is retaining that talent, and you need guys. You need young guys.
Yes.
Right now, this roster has a ton of holes to be filled, and the first step of that is getting some young guys in there to get depth.
Yeah, and it's so unusual, too. I mean, if the coach who is recruiting you leaves or gets fired, I mean, it's almost a foregone conclusion that those kids are going to dip. Mm-hmm. Are they the best in the world? No. But the fact that Byington convinced them to stay I think is huge, and I think is a really good indicator that he's got some charisma. We've seen that firsthand with the way he's presented himself to Vanderbilt fans on the SEC network, on the radio. He's got some charisma. He can talk to people. He can convince you of the vision of what he wants to turn Vanderbilt basketball into. And it seems like early, then again, small sample size very early on, it seems like some people are buying in regards to players. So that is a huge, huge sign for me and a very positive sign for the direction that Vanderbilt basketball is headed, hopefully.
I do want to play one clip. This isn't from the press conference. This is on SEC Network. Mark Byington had an interview with Dari Noka. We tweeted it out from the TDR account. First, the Vanderbilt men's basketball account tweeted it out. So I'm going to try to play the audio here and hope it comes through clearly.
We're going to play extremely hard. We're going to play.
Turn up the volume.
How do you describe your style offensively and defensively?
Yeah, extremely aggressive. We're going to attack on both ends of the court. I love it. It's a huge compliment when other people, other coaches or people say, we're looking at the team, how hard we play. And that's going to be number one. We're going to play extremely hard. We're going to play tough. But if you look at the way that I've coached in the past, I mean, we're always one of the fastest paced teams in the country. We do try to turn teams over. It's a free flowing system. It's not a system built around one player. It's a system built around a lot of players being successful and making the right play. And the positionless basketball is caught on with a lot of teams. I think we're the true kind of idea of that.
How do you describe your style?
That's something I love to hear is whenever he talks about positionless basketball, because Jerry tried to do that a little bit, but failed at it really, really badly. So whenever he talks about that, that's something that I really, really like to hear. I love it whenever he says free-flowing teams, aggressive on both ends of the court. That's huge for me.
Everybody talks about positionless basketball. Mm-hmm. That's like the hot phrase,
the sexy thing.
The thing to say, but not everybody actually plays mm-hmm. positionless basketball. Almost nobody plays positionless basketball. It's one of the most overly used terms mm-hmm. in all of basketball. Yeah, your guards may be more interchangeable or your big men may be interchangeable, but it's not positionless. That, in my opinion, is one of the dumbest phrases mm-hmm. because it's not your offense is not drawn up positionless. Mm-hmm. Your defense is not drawn up positionless. But from what JMU does, it's about as close to that or what JMU did and what Mark Byington is bringing to Vanderbilt. It's about as close to positionless as you can be. And I like that he specifically mentioned one of the most up-tempo, high-pace offenses that we hit on that last episode after the hire. That is going to be a change that is going to be a sight for sore eyes for Vanderbilt fans, going from one of the slowest-paced teams in the country to one of the fastest-paced teams in the country. My God, I can't wait.
I cannot wait. It's going to be it's going to be so refreshing for the offense to score with over 15 seconds left on the shot clock.
That'll be a new one. But I don't want to hit on too much basketball because, in my opinion, we don't know anything yet.
It's so early.
It's so early, and the NCAA tournament is still going on, so a lot of the big pieces in the transfer portal are probably not going to be committing to any schools until after the NCAA mm-hmm. tournament, after they can truly test out the NBA draft waters, get some feedback. So a lot of pieces to fall, a lot of dominoes to fall, but everything we have seen so far from Mark Byington is exactly what you want to see.
Yeah, we won't really know a lot in regards to transfers, like you said, with the NBA draft till probably, what would you say, June? I think that's when the combine kind of ends, is like mid-June.
Maybe a little earlier
than
that, because they'll do private workouts and different things to get feedback from draft scouting experts mm-hmm. is a lot of what that is, but that still has to happen.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys are just putting their name in the transfer portal. So right now, any of those big dominoes are not going to fall yet. Did you see LeBron James Jr.?
I did.
Entered the transfer portal.
I did.
Don't think he's coming to Vanderbilt, but just an interesting name to pop up in the transfer portal.
I mean, Vanderbilt has not a long history, but a short history of getting NBA greats sons. With Scottie Pippen Jr. I'm trying to think.
They had Kenyon Martin's son committed, and then he ended up playing overseas. A bad decision on his part, in my opinion.
But Luke Kornet with Frank.
Yeah, that's another one. But that was also a Vanderbilt guy.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to add on to basketball here before we move on to our football practice experience?
No, let's get into it. The fun thing.
The final stretch of episode 266 here. Like we said, we can't comment on anything specific. We can't report any specifics, but We shouted out in the intro. Have to shout out again. Shout out to Vanderbilt football overall, specifically Barton Simmons, thinking of us, reaching out to us, and allowing us to attend practice.
Yeah.
And trusting us not to be irresponsible with reporting.
It was so fun, man. It was just going as a fan and being able to experience that. I really did feel like a child. I was like, man. Like it brought back and I still have a lot of that in me, that like childlike admiration for Vanderbilt athletics. But going there and seeing a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, man, that was so cool. It truly was a wonderful experience.
We also have to say there were quite a few people in attendance that knew who we were.
Yeah,
I was a little bit surprised.
I was kind of shocked.
We did see some people that we had seen before at tailgates and other things. Gavin Schoenwald.
Shout out to the GOAT.
Shout out to Gavin. Talk to us for a minute. Also, towards the end of the practice, we were standing next to.
Before we get into that, we got to shout out our boy Wesley Schelling.
Oh, yeah.
We got to shout out the boy.
There were going to be a long list of shout outs. Wesley Schelling was also out there. Saw him also assisting with some special teams stuff on the side.
We were
talking to Wesley for like 30 solid minutes, yeah. I would say. And then he just kind of walked away and disappeared. And I looked over and he was like feeding snaps to the long snapper.
It was so funny.
He wasn't actually doing anything, but he was just tossing balls over to the long snapper so they could practice.
You could take the boy out of ball. You can't take the ball out of the boy.
You want to stick with that one?
I'll stick with that one.
Wesley Schelling, Xavier Lazinski.
He was awesome. Nick Lazinski's brother, who I thought was Nick Lazinski's son.
That was actually funny.
And then he's like, no, that's my brother. And I was like, wow.
He is 10 years younger.
He could technically be his son, but I think Nick Lazinski.
He would have gotten
don't a girl say pregnant.
Don't say he could technically be his son if he's only 10 years older.
Yeah.
He would have to get a girl knocked up when he was like 9 and a half.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Some dudes are early bloomers. You never know.
This is taking an interesting turn. I didn't expect Xavier Lazinski.
He was so cool. He was awesome.
Also at the end of practice, towards the end, I didn't realize we were standing next to I assumed who was a parent of either a recruit or a player. Mm-hmm. Turned out to be Mike Wright and Taco Wright's dad.
And mom.
And mom.
Super wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah, it was awesome talking to them for a second. They were constantly making fun of the parents on the sideline, doing some coaching to the recruits as the practice is happening. They're like, yep, they know what's going on, but they were awesome. Said Mike was doing great down at Mississippi State and also running track over the weekend.
Yeah.
As well. So they were great people. Had to give them a shout out. Also, shout out to the special teams overall.
Boys.
Dude, they stopped by, talked to us in the middle of practice.
I felt bad. I was like, dang, I'm going to get these guys in trouble and like somebody's going to scream at me.
It was Will Ferris, I believe, and Julian Ashby.
And Daniel Gaw
stopped by. And there was practice going on. And we were like, are you guys allowed to be talking to us right now?
I feel kind of bad. Like, I don't think we should be doing this.
And they were like, no, this is our break period right now. But shout out to them. We might be turning into a special teams podcast.
We've always loved the special teamers.
We are special teams.
Wesley Schelling, Jack Barton, Tommy Eccles.
You know why they call them special teams?
Make special plays.
Because they're special.
Special teams make special plays because they're special players.
Exactly.
Tuesday.
But
you know what that's from?
No.
Oh, Sketch. He's a streamer. You ever seen him?
No.
What's up, brother?
Oh, yes. Sketch. Yes. Jesus.
What's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
Tuesday.
I don't watch him. I've just seen clips since he's kind of blown up with Barstool. There were a couple funny things that happened during that. Like we said, we can't really report on any individual guys, any individual performances, any injury updates, any formation. We can't talk about any of that. But on the funnier side of stories, I didn't think about the fact that I am very pasty white. And
both of us.
Yeah, I'm pastier white than you, however.
I'm pretty pasty, though.
But I'm pretty damn pasty, brother. And, brother.
Brother.
You're going to have that stuck in my head now.
Sup, brother.
But got there around 9:30 a.m. Got let in the gate. I didn't think about it. Thank God I was wearing a jacket, but I didn't wear a hat.
I didn't wear a ball cap.
Wear any sunscreen. And I realized I was getting a little burnt when I got into my car after the practice and went, oh no. Then I immediately went to a birthday celebration and went and drank a few beverages on a rooftop in downtown Nashville. And my face felt like the face of the sun. My forehead right now, it's why I'm wearing a hat this episode. My forehead right now is literally just peeling. There are pieces of skin just falling off. My nose is as red as a crayon right now. It's not great. The light's helping me out and the hat are helping me out. But it was a nice annual reminder that I always need. I'm 26 and I keep having to relearn my lesson every single year. I got to wear some SPF.
Yeah, I didn't wear sunscreen either and I got pretty toasty.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking. The other funny story, Trevor, I don't know if you want to tell it, but Chase Gillespie was on a run play and we were standing on the sideline. And he came barreling down the sideline, and he almost took out Trevor and mine's ACLs, MCLs, meniscus, almost got taken out.
It was, I'm not going to lie, I was terrified. I was so scared. I'm just watching it develop, and I'm thinking, oh, he's getting really close to me. And then at like 100 miles an hour, just barreling down, and I'm very proud of myself because it would have been a bad move if I like turn around and ran. People been like, this guy, what? He's never been around football. So instinctually, I just sort of turned and sort of just like stepped out the way barely, and he barely missed me. He almost turned me into a pancake. It was gonna be a bad day to be me.
Nothing would have made it funnier than you getting injured at the Vanderbilt practice
that we were invited to,
well, and you blowing out your knees and having to be, it would have been awful, of course, but it would have been kind of funny, the optics of you being stretchered out of the Vanderbilt practice facility after your first one ever that we have attended that wasn't fully open to the public.
It was so funny too, because we were told, hey, you can stand anywhere on the perimeter, just make sure you're sort of out of the way of the guys. And we were like, perfect. We can do that. We will not be in anybody's way. And so we were like a safe distance away. Like we were not close at all. And then it just got closer and closer and closer. And I thought, oh no, this is how it ends. And I thought like Barton Simmons was going to come over and scream and be like, you idiot. You idiot. Actually, I give you this opportunity. Get out.
No.
Oh, you said Barton.
I thought Barton, but We were more concerned about Jerry Kill.
That
man can coach some ball.
Dude, I'm trying not to cuss, but I thought he was like coming at me like running. He scared the shit out of me. I thought he was coming to cuss me out. Like, dude, get out of the way, you idiot. What are you doing? Have you never seen football before? And I just see him barreling over, and I was so scared that he was about to throttle me. But he didn't address
me,
thank God.
To be fair, we did get out of the way.
We did get
out
of the way.
Yeah, there was no issue. All this is hypothetical.
I even tried to help him up.
There was also a funny story. We were standing there talking to Xavier Lozinski, like we mentioned, and that's who we were talking to whenever that happened. But also you were saying, man, I would give anything. Just give a nice overthrow or something over here on the sideline. Just give me an opportunity to show the coaches my skills. I mean, literally, I'm not kidding. The next play was an overthrown ball directly to you.
I could have caught it without jumping, and I just stepped out of the way. I got scared.
Coward.
I got scared. I didn't want to mess up anything and not be allowed back that I was just like, I saw it and I go, I can catch this without getting in anybody's way, not moving. I can catch this. And I just stepped out of the way and let it fall in my feet. You and Xavier go, dude, you like, I cannot believe that happened. And I just go, dude, I just froze. I didn't know what to do.
But it was an incredible experience. We'd love to come out if you'd like to have us out again. I'm sure, Trevor, you agree there.
Yeah.
It was a great experience going out there and seeing the
boys.
I'm
going to stay far away from Jerry Kill.
Hearing some pads pop. It was great.
I think that was the longest I'd never pulled out my phone and since I've had a cell phone. I don't think I pulled out my phone the entire practice.
It was also, dude, I forgot. It's been a long time since I've been on a football practice field. I forgot how much that heat reflects. It was not a hot day.
Especially on that turf.
Yeah, it was not a hot day. But damn. it got hot.
And I was doing no physical activity, and I just kept looking over at the Gatorade bottles and kept thinking, is anybody going to notice if I take a little water out of these? But I didn't. I fought the urges.
Also, one person I forgot to shout out, Ethan Crisp's dad.
Great
well.
Guy.
Yeah, talk to him for a second as well.
Shout out to Mount Juliet, your and hometown.
The old MJ boys. Shout out Ethan Crisp. But anything else you want to add about the practice? Shout out to Barton Simmons again. Shout out to Clark Lee for giving the go-ahead on it. Shout out to everybody in the football program for actually thinking of TDR.
Yeah,
we truly do appreciate
it. We're forever indebted to you guys. That was awesome.
Now, this is not, I wish it wasn't the case, but this is not going to buy you any grace from me.
Yes.
When the actual season begins, we deeply appreciate it. Maybe 0.1%. But once the real season starts,
it's all gas, no brakes.
It is what it is.
And I think they respect that. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, hey, this means something to these guys. You know what I mean? Whenever we're doing awesome, they're our number one fans. And whenever we're not performing correctly, they'll let us hear it. But God, they're going to show up every single weekend to support the boys, whether they're 0-10 or whether they're 10-0. You know that those boys are going to be in lot two and in their seats an hour before game time.
Now in Section F.
Oh,
the TDR section.
Dude, Section F.
Oh, everybody listening, if you can, get your tickets in Section F.
Yes, Section F. Me and my dad sit Section F, row 44. You're thinking that's pretty high up. It's probably about halfway up. This phenomenal, probably the best seats I've ever had. Row 44, seat 29 and 28. We're right next to the parent section. Shout out to the parents. They're awesome. They're all AJ Newberry's mom might be my favorite Vandy football parent. She's amazing. She's at every game. Great people. Section F. You got me, my dad, Will, his dad, Big Joseph West, his dad. Is Braden McPherson going to renew? I don't know. If you do, you got Braden McPherson. You think so?
I think Braden will.
Braden, I believe in you.
Braden talks a big game.
He does talk a big
game. But also, a lot of his stuff was hinged on not firing Jerry Stackhouse.
That is true.
And they did fire Jerry
Stackhouse.
That is
true. And so,
shout out
to
those guys. And we also have Axel.
Axel shows up in Section F. Hey, shout out to my boy, Justin Kemp. First game of the season, I look down a couple rows in front of me, and I just see the most beat up black number 17 DJ Moore jersey I've ever seen in my life. And I go, that's my dude right there. That's my guy.
Anything else you want to add about the practice we attended? Because I think we probably want to talk a little separate Vanderbilt football, unrelated to what we saw before we close out episode 266.
Like Will said, thank you guys so much. That really, I tweeted it and I wasn't being sarcastic. I couldn't imagine going back in time and telling a 10-year-old Trevor that you would be able to experience this one day. That was absolutely phenomenal. And hey, shout out to Vanderbilt football for always thinking about the fans. Vanderbilt football has not been easy to support, but this administration, this regime, they care about the fans. They care about fan support. I really, really love those guys on that side.
And football is the only program, not because of Clark Lee, the only program I make any excuses for.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
I truly, in the bottom of my heart, believe Vanderbilt football is the toughest head coaching job in any sport at any school in the country.
I agree totally.
I think that is the toughest job. You are competing against schools with the largest budgets, the most support possible, the best players, and you're doing that with basically both hands tied behind your back the entire time. So there's a little bit more grace given to Vanderbilt football. All right, moving on from the practice, just we've hit on these same talking points before. With this new offense, this is not related to practice. I want to keep emphasizing that. Nothing we saw that I'm about to say is related to what I'm saying. I just want to keep reminding Vanderbilt fans how much more run-oriented this offense is going to be. We were talking about this. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about this for a month.
We've been talking about this since they hired Tim Beck.
But with Tim Beck, I cannot emphasize enough how much different this offense is going to be. Mm-hmm. You're going to go from being a team that throws the ball around 60% of possessions to being a team that, as your battery, low battery pops
up. Oh, no.
Now, don't worry about it. We're about to close
you
it out.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, we'll close it out here soon. you're going to go from a team that throws the ball 60% of the time to a team that probably runs the ball 70% of the time.
Because that's what they did in New Mexico.
Yeah, that's what they did there. That's what they do here. Obviously, Vanderbilt does not have Diego Pavia on campus yet, pissing Pavia. But just Vanderbilt fans need to keep that in mind when they start getting frustrated in the upcoming year, which is inevitable, saying, why are they not throwing the ball more? Because I can see it coming now.
Yeah.
Is that's what they're trying to do, is control the clock, run the ball. That's the plan.
Yeah. And I'm cool with it because I'm a defense first guy. I love sexy offenses, but a defense will always have my heart. And on offense, I get throwing the ball is sexy and it scores points. There's something about when you just line up and you just run the ball down somebody's throat that will forever have me in a chokehold.
And then the last football note I want to hit on here, I'm going to absolutely butcher this name.
We were trying to figure it out.
Loic Fuanji, a wide receiver from Texas Tech that committed to Vanderbilt a while ago in the transfer portal, has officially signed as of, I think, today.
Today.
Has officially signed a big, emphasis on big, addition to the Vanderbilt wide receiver group. 6'4", 215 pounds.
Big body bends.
A good compliment to Quincy Skinner Jr. and Junior Sherrill and Richie Hoskins. And I think, unless I'm mistaken, he also returns kicks.
Yes.
Which is an area of need for this Vanderbilt team. I don't know if he returns punts, but I know at Texas Tech he did return kicks. So, not an incredible stat line or incredible career. We probably need to close it out here because your laptop's about to die.
It's making me a little nervous. Yeah,
let's go ahead and close it out. For myself, Will Byram, and my co-host, Trevor Hewlin, this has been episode 266 of The Door Report, powered by 615 Collectibles.